enough greeting time today, so I'm going to come back next Sunday and make sure I get the or stay after for fellowship. Yeah, but it's not the same. It's like during the service. It's like there's something about the middle of the service greeting time. Well, once again, we have our esteemed Jesus-loving conference superintendent Paul Wilson with us here today. Let's give him a big round of welcome as he facilitates this installation service for Harlan Barrett.
All right. Hey, well, what a great day to be here with you. Before we get into the main event, I'll just say, just greet you on behalf of your sister churches. The last time I was here, I think it was like 2 years ago on a Sunday, and I keep waiting to be invited back. You know, I look at the phone, and a week goes by, and I just know it's going to ring, and I'm going to be invited. But so good thing you're here, Barrett, so I get to come back. Last time I would have greeted you on behalf of 150 sister churches in our conference, which is California, Arizona, and praise the Lord, Hawaii. And now it's 162 churches. And if I were to come a year from now, looks like it'll be 175. And so we are so grateful, so very, very grateful for what God is doing. And a big part of that is here today. You know, I mean, our ministries, people, like they'll say, the conference, like there's this big entity that's out there. What we are is we're people in places. And we just have one opportunity to be the church together, to be community, to get to know God. And I just say, let's do it His way. Let's become who He desires us to be. And when I'm going to do an installation each time, I have found that I was kind of doing them the same in my first year. But since then, I realized that there was a blessing for me. And I'm going to share with you what the blessing is to pray for the pastor and the church and to ask God for something fresh and new. And so this might unnerve some people, but for me, it's just fun. I begin to pray when I'm in the car on the way over. Amen. And so I saw something today that we're all seeing that I just haven't seen in this way. I've never seen so much smoke in the Bay Area. Right. I was raised here. I was raised here. Yeah. And even over here where you're near the bay and so close to the ocean, you know, to see what we're not seeing because of the smoke. And so I thought of you, and I thought of Elisha. So the prophet Elisha, he was the one in the cartoon who got the kid to sneeze and then came alive. It was that one. And he was with his servant and was in trouble. And he was in trouble because the king of Aram had it with him. Now that would be modern day Syria. And Elisha had been kind of messing up their plans. And so he said, this guy has got to be killed. So they got their best forces and they got the chariots and the horses. And that's high tech for that day. And they took an inordinate portion of their cavalry and their army to kill one guy. And so their intel told him that he was in a particular place. And when I drove here today again, I said, if this is not geographically just like this place where he camped that night, and it's a place called Dothan. And Dothan has some hills that come down into a narrow area. And so just kind of like this church is set here, the hills around come down right there. And so that's where they were sleeping, Elisha and his servant in a house. Well, the servant gets up and he's going to, you know, prepare the fire and get the food ready. And he looks up into the hills and they're surrounded by an army and a cavalry. And cavalry, when you saw the mounted, the horses, that was scary business in those days. And so he tells Elisha, and Elisha says to him, "Don't be afraid, because those who are with us are greater than those who are with them." Now, it doesn't say this in the Bible, but I'm pretty sure the servant had a decent understanding of math. And so he's just going to count a little bit. Okay, let's count. There's you, Elisha, and there's me, and there's two of us. And there are scores and scores and scores of the others. But Elisha says, those who are with us are greater than those. And then he prays that his servant will see. And this is my prayer for you, Barrett, that you will see. That you will see spiritual reality. And that as a community together, you will see. I'm with more pastors and more churches than anyone I know. And sometimes, quite often, when I'm with people, they begin to share with me the obstacles and the difficulties. And I feel so honored to hear and to learn from them. But can I tell you something? And this is not being overly optimistic or positive, but these obstacles and challenges are nothing in the presence of our God. And here's the deal. You want to see him and be aware. That's just being realistic, right? That's just being wise. But something happens when we fix our eyes on Jesus. And we look at, we focus at, not what is all perfect, but we look at the perfect one. And I will just say this. When God is trusted and a community has Christ at its center, I have no experience of seeing anything other than new life in Christ just flow from that place. That's all I've ever seen. And so what ends up happening is the servant, and you know, and that's after the testimony of Elisha. It's interesting because, you know, Elisha, I'm sure, and you know, we see in scripture, we see more about his internal struggles, but Elisha has struggles, but he is able to see this and then shares it with the servant. And guess what? The servant sees a army of angels, something he didn't see before. Now, it's a little bit like the curtain on reality was lifted. And so we're not alone. Jesus is always with us. I think I quote this next verse each day because it's kind of my life verse, but it's something that I live with. Jesus said in John 5:17, "My Father is always at work, and I too am working." When I was a kid, my parents said, "Paul, you say always too much, and you say never, like, you know, I always have to do all the work, and we never have any fun," stuff like that. I was told not to say that. Do you know what the Greek word always means? It means always. It means always. So when Jesus said his Father is always at work, so here's the deal. It's okay to ask God to work. It's great. It's a great thing to do. But you don't have to, because he is always at work. What we need is eyes to see his work. And I don't know how this works, Barrett. Barrett, by the way, he went to a really good seminary. And it's just, it says something. And I'm pretty intrigued by you, Barrett. Okay? I just got to tell you, I'm intrigued. So Barrett here, I think it's really cool what his dad does. His dad, if you don't know this, he works at a small AM country music station. And so, you know, he spins the discs. And if your dad's okay with Willie Nelson and Waylon Jennings, he's okay with me. I'll just tell you that. Those are a couple Texans, guys who did the Lone Star State proud. But see, I know what that really is, and we've talked about it. This means he sells advertising. Because that's how you keep the thing going, and it is not easy. I'll tell you what it also tells me about you. You don't get rich doing that. You were not raised with a silver spoon. And somehow this guy that I'm intrigued with, who's young and whose parents were very young, who raised you, there's something about this guy. He went to Gordon Conwell Seminary, which is really an excellent place. And there's something about this guy that has led him to be here. So I'm just seeking to see what the Lord is doing. Well, let me tell you what ended up happening. Big surprise, this whole thing. So the servant begins to see. He sees the angelic host. And so then the army of the Arameans comes down, and Elisha prays, and they all go blind. Then Elisha says, they're asking, you know, what, do you know where this guy Elisha is? And he says, yeah, I'll lead you to him. Well, he's playing a little trick on him. And so he takes them right into the capital city of Samaria, where the king of Israel is. The blindness leaves them. They look up, and they are surrounded by the army of Israel and the king. So the king says to Elisha, shall I kill him? Shall I kill him? I mean, this is the deal. And it wasn't so much a question, shall I kill him? But can we do it right now? That's really what he's saying. Can we do it? And so here's the thing. When you see Jesus, when you see what God is doing, there is always a surprise. And Elisha says, no, you can't. Let's throw a party for him. Let's make a feast for him. So they make a feast, they all eat, send them home safe. How about that? You are coming to a part of the country that's about as resistant to the gospel as just about any. I study demographics and data more than God ever intended me to, way more. I can tell you this. But here's the thing that I see. When people are surprised by the real good news gospel of Jesus, and he always brings us surprises, people here are far, far more open to Jesus than most believers believe. If I could stand up on the top of this church and just yell it, I'd just say, people are far more open to Jesus. You also see some of that faith tradition of yours teaches you to really trust God and know that it's not just intellectual understanding of doctrine, right, but that God really shows up. Well, I'll tell you, you pray and you look for his activity. And when you see the activity of God, you always see two things. You'll see people and God coming together, and you'll see people and people coming together. And those who think that, who've been walking with Jesus, when we're really searching out for him, our days become like new days. It's like this new beginning of just getting to know him. And I don't know how this works, but when we really trust God, we know that God's always present, right? So I don't know how this works, but when we really trust him, it's like there's an intensification of his presence. Yeah. You ever know that in worship and when you're trusting him? And when we're looking for his activity, we see him We see him at work in places and in situations where otherwise we'd say nothing's happening, nothing's happening. So I'm happy for this congregation, and I'm happy for us. I want to say that I invited Barrett to be down to spend some time and bring Jennifer. We're a bunch of pastors in training. We're studying with me, if you could call being with me studying. It wasn't exactly studying. We were having some fun, though, weren't we? Yeah. So I'm happy for this congregation. I'm happy for you too. And I'm really happy for us as broader family of brother and sister pastors to you. So why don't you come on up and join me, and Jennifer, come on up. And let's see, do we have a handheld mic here somewhere? I gave Jennifer a little warning. I said she didn't have to do this. So, Jennifer, tell us something about Barrett.
Well, in general, he asked me a couple things I appreciate about him. Yeah. First of all, I want to really put him on the spot. I want to point out several things about him. First of all is... Man, I was like, this is going to be the hardest thing because I really have a lot of respect for him.
Well, Barrett made a list for you of his fine qualities you could choose from.
Barrett, first of all, is a 100% kind of a person. So when he's into something, he's 100% into it. We got into stargazing a while back. We were really into stargazing for a minute, and then we went on to something else. So when he started talking to me about planning a church or being a pastor, we were in school and I was like, okay, that's nice, good, all right, I want to church planning, okay, that's great, you know, he really pursued God's call, and it's like, okay, it's great, Barrett, you know, we'll see, you know, I'll support you. And I waited and waited, and he's like, I think I really want to go to seminary. It's like, I think that's a great idea. And so he kept going, and I think it, instead of dying off or changing directions, it stayed focused. It actually got more energized as he learned more and he grew more. So I've really admired his push for, you know, to what God has called him and direct him to, and he has been so dedicated. It took him a long time to finish school because we had a family. We stopped and we had a pause and had a kid and kept going. And, he has been so dedicated to that, and to pursuing, you know, what God has called him to. I can't say that. I can't like talk about this without saying I really appreciate his humor. If you, that's one of the things that drew me to him, first of all, whenever we were, you know, just getting to know each other. Let's just bear it. You get to know him, you'll appreciate it too. I appreciate, there was one big one. I appreciate, the way he loves us. Whenever he had his heart attack, he kept saying, you know, his thing was like, I kept thinking, like how, like leaving you with the kids. The other night, Jude was not going down, and he comes in there. He just walks in there. And it's like, my turn, you know. Like I got this, and he did. And like minutes later, the baby was out, and he was like, yeah. And I was like, no, right? You give my hand for that. That was good. So yeah, that's a little about Barrett, about him in a nutshell. He's loyal. He's very driven. He's a people person. So he's driven relationally, and he really loves us. So,
thank you. Okay, that was the absolute most I've ever heard someone say about their spouse when I've asked them to do this kind of thing. So it's a reflection on both of you. You two kind of like each other, don't you? Yeah. Well, very good. This is a holy moment. And this is a milestone in what God is doing in this church And also in this community, in my conversations with Barrett, we've talked about being called to this church, but also called to this community. And just being open to what that might mean. I really like it that we have a book of worship. And so this is something that I'm going to give to you when we're done here today. But we have words that have been written by thoughtful people who have prayed and considered, you know, what are some of the things we want to say in a time like this? And I appreciate that. And it's also a reflection that what's happening with you, that there's a whole body of believers. Of course, the Covenant Church is just a grain of sand on the beach of the kingdom of God. I think you will really appreciate being a part of that grain of sand. But we're more excited about being Christians. And when we do something like this, though, we reach back in language into the church that goes back centuries and centuries to the time of Christ, but also reflects our part. And so, dear friends in Christ, guided by the Holy Spirit, you have called Barrett Wolverton to be your pastor. By this act, you have indicated your confidence in him to be the shepherd of this congregation. As long as God gives you breath, you are going to be a spiritual leader.
Yes.
And there are people who are pastors who want to be big shots. We don't need any more. We need shepherds. I like the old word minister. They used to call us ministers. And that is servant. But what an honor to shepherd these people. I charge you to receive, and this is to you, the word of God through him in all meekness and love. Something that I know about preaching and about God using the teaching of his word is that most of it, so it's really important what we do who teach God's word, it's very important, but most of it has to do with the condition of the heart.
Yes.
And so you got to be in that place of wanting to really hear from God and receive, not in the place of evaluating, critiquing, acting as the consummate California spiritual consumer, but to be in that place, generally welcome up here. We are so happy to have you. And so receive the word of God. Think about that when you come to be open to hear what God has in all meekness and love. Undergird him in the labors that will be his in the service of God. Remember always that he is God's servant and that you as God's stewards are to supply his needs in a way that will be pleasing to God and an honor to your congregation. In all things, show this family love. Esteem Barrett highly for his calling as your pastor and accept him as your spiritual leader. If these are your intentions, please support Barrett and the Wolverton family and the continuing ministry of this church by standing. And responding to the following questions. I want you to listen to the questions, and then if it makes sense, you're going to say, we will. And I don't know if you've ever said like two words like we will, asking the Holy Spirit to just take it and really make it something that's almost prophetic, speaking into the future and to make it deep in your commitment. But I ask you to do that as you speak those words out. So will you receive Barrett to be your pastor, recognizing his place in spiritual leadership and receiving the word of God through him. If this is your promise, answer, we will.
We will.
Will you do your part to supply his need in a way that will be pleasing to God? And will you encourage him and share with him in the work of Christ in this church? If this is your promise, answer, we will.
We will.
Please take a seat. Under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, you've been called by this congregation to be their pastor. God and this congregation have committed the shepherding of this flock to you, and you are admonished by God to be urgent in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching. In all sincerity, preach the word, administer the sacraments in accordance with the scriptures. Comfort and counsel the sick, the sorrowing, and the troubled. And instruct all to live up to their calling in Christ Jesus. Are you willing to assume this responsibility and the strength that God has given you? If so, say, by the grace of God, I am.
By the grace of God, I am.
In assuming your responsibility as the pastor of Grace Covenant Church, will you affirm your loyalty to the Evangelical Covenant Church and promise to support its mission and the mission of the Pacific Southwest Conference? If so, say, by the grace of God, I will.
By the grace of God, I will.
Dennis, come on up. I think you have something here.
Just in listening to what Paul has already shared about the Heavenly Father always being at work and us recognizing it, he is also the giver of every good and perfect gift. And I think it's evident as we've been seeing God working through this whole situation and God bring you here that you clearly are a gift to us here at Grace. But like all relationships, it needs to be two ways. We certainly want to be a gift to you and to your family. And so this is just a small symbolic token, a card with a bunch of gift cards to a variety of different places. And so use this with just that intention, that symbolic intention, that we want to be as much of a gift to you as you are to us. And so we present this to you with that in mind. Thank you.
Hey, I want to invite the whole congregation. Come on up forward. And so come on up. And we're gonna get around you. So you get right here. We're gonna get as many people as close to you, and we're gonna lay hands on you. So if you're near them, go ahead and lay a hand. Come all the way up real close. And if you're back a few rows there, just put your hand on someone. And when we pray, we don't do this as some kind of sentimental act. We're calling down Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're asking him to do what he desires to do. So God is here, and he knew about this day before the creation of the universe. So, Almighty God, in every age you have chosen your servants to proclaim your word and to lead your people. We give thanks for your servant, Barrett, whom you have called to serve in this congregation and in this community and in this world that you so love. By your grace, enable him to use his gifts to do your work. And fill him with your Holy Spirit so that he may have the mind of Christ and be your faithful servant as long as he lives. God of grace, you call us into common ministry. You call us all to be ambassadors of Christ. And you've entrusted us with the message of reconciliation. Would you give pastor and people courage and the discipline to follow you together, that together we may declare your wonderful deeds and show your love and your mercy and your justice to this world? This we pray in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church, and by the authority of this congregation and the Pacific Southwest Conference, I now declare that Barrett Wolverton is duly installed as pastor of Grace Covenant Church. Now, let's worship our God. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Wow. Amen. Let's everyone return to your seat.
Wow. Wow. Thank you. Thank you all so much. Back in, I guess, was it June, when I sent my resume to a church in South San Francisco, I told Jennifer about it. She said, "You did what?" And I said, "Well, you know, like, let's just see. You know, this might sound like a good opportunity." You know, we had been praying for a few months. I finished seminary last year, and just seeking the Lord's direction on where He would take us in ministry. And you know, we were in Texas. We were in this buckle of the Bible Belt kind of town, you know, just right outside of Dallas. And we were just seeking God's direction on, you know, where to go next and where He would take us. And so here we are, and it's been an exciting journey, just working with Elizabeth and the search team, just every step of the way. And I think Jennifer would agree, we just really felt God drawing us here. Just every part of the process, we just felt affirmation after affirmation. And it was just amazing to see God bring a calling to us so clearly. You know, we had tried and had looked at many other places along the way, and just the calling here was just so clear. And so it was just amazing to see the Holy Spirit work in the process of that. And you know, the more we talked with the church here, we got to speak to several members here, several people associated with the church. We just really felt this draw to this body of believers that that serve Him, that love each other. And it seemed like a family here, and we wanted to be a part of this family here. And so Jennifer and I just are so excited to be here and be a part of what God has done here already, and what God is going to continue to do through Grace Covenant Church here in South San Francisco. Several years ago, I interned for a pastor in Dallas as part of my seminary training. In his office, he had a cross stitch on the wall, and it said, "All the holy men have gone off and died. All that is left is us sinners to do the ministry." It's something I eventually want to put in my own office and hang up. But when I think about pastoral ministry, I think about that quote. It always comes to my mind, because here I am, an imperfect person called to lead a church, called to pastor a church, called to be a shepherd. And even though I recognize my imperfections, I also recognize the power of grace that is extended to me and to all that believe in Jesus Christ. This message of mercy, this message of love, and it's this message of the gospel that brings us here together today, that brings us as a congregation together, that brings us as a church family together. And so it is that same message of grace that I hold on to as I accept this call in my life to serve as your new pastor. I'm humbled to be your pastor. Along with being a Christ follower, husband, and father, I consider this calling to be one of the highest privileges of my life. Thank you for giving a young guy like me an opportunity to serve you. I'm truly honored to walk alongside you as your pastoral leader. In Scripture, pastoral leaders are synonymously referred to as shepherds. You know, Paul had made a mention that, you know, there's all these different words, terms that we use to call pastors, ministers, but he also mentioned the term shepherd. And as I look into Scripture, there are many instances where I see shepherds playing large roles in leading people. The first thing that I see shepherds do for people is they provide for their flocks. Shepherds provide for their flocks. As your pastor, I will seek to provide for you. Through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, I will preach and teach the living word of God so that it may reach your minds and hearts in a way that will transform you. I will pray earnestly for each of you and your families. With God's help, I will provide you with the counsel when it is needed. I will walk alongside you and your families as we do life together and do that to the best that we can do. And I will do my best to provide for your spiritual well-being as you grow in your relationships with Christ. When unwelcome situations arise in your life, you can bet that I will be there to walk alongside you in the midst of the storms. I will provide for you as best I can. The second thing that shepherds do is shepherds protect their flocks. As your pastor, I will seek to protect you. I am committed to protecting you from dangers both outside and from within our own congregation. I am committed to praying for you and keeping you accountable in a world where our faith is countercultural. I am committed to protecting this congregation from unsound teaching and other negative influences. There will be moments when our congregation will suffer or face extreme adversities. As your pastor, I will rely on the help of the Lord to bring protection during such times. And then the third thing that shepherds do is they guide their flocks. As your pastor, I will seek to guide you. I will serve Jesus. I will follow his leadership to guide you. I am committed to bringing a fresh vision and sense of purpose to this congregation. I am committed to walking alongside you as we discern what God's desire is for our church, as we find our identity as a community. I know that God has great plans for Grace Covenant Church and the impact that this church will have on this neighborhood and the city of South San Francisco and even the entire Bay Area. As your pastor, I will provide leadership to guide this church through the ups and downs that we are going to encounter together. Shepherds provide, protect, and guide their flocks. Ultimately, as your pastor, I am just an under-shepherd to the Almighty Shepherd, Jesus Christ. He is the one that I look to and will point you to. He is the one who over 60 years ago put a passion in a group of people to start this church here in South City, here in South San Francisco. And we stand on that long, rich history. We stand and recognize that this church has done many things over the years and has had great ups and downs. And as I follow the great men who have pastored this church before me, I will seek to honor our church's rich history as well as look to the future to see what God's going to do through the ministries here at Grace Covenant. As your pastor, I will probably make mistakes. There might be times where I will let you down, but I will do my best to avoid such mistakes. Have mercy as our Lord shows mercy to all of us. That's one thing that I would ask that you do. The second thing I would ask is that you would pray for me. Pray for my family. Pray as I strive to guide you, to protect you, and to provide for you. Please keep us in your prayers. Our family is excited to be part of your family here at Grace Covenant. I see great potential in this church, and Jennifer and I, as I said earlier, were drawn to this congregation's genuine love for one another. The relationships here are deep and meaningful. I know that God has great things in store for this congregation, and I'm excited to be your pastor for such a time as this. I'm here to provide, protect, and guide. But most important of all, I'm here to walk alongside you in life as we all strive to be more like Christ every day. So Grace Covenant, let's do this together. Thank you. And now let's all rise as we sing one more song to give praise and honor to God.